scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass, it looked corner to Aguilla. Aguilla left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by all. Aguilla's rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
Hey, welcome aboard. Another week of Flames Talk is underway. It is Monday, September 30th. Welcome to Flames Talk. Welcome to the Hot Stove Lounge at the Scotiabank Saddledome with Aaron Vickers of NHL.com. It's Pat Steinberg with you this week on Flames Talk. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. Hopefully you had a great weekend. And here we are, Vicks. We are into the final week of the preseason and the final week of training camp. How are we doing?
We're doing good now that you identified it's the last week.
It truly is. Because 1 week from today, next Monday, October 7th, is deadline day for your rosters to be in. Now, the actual regular season starts this weekend over in Europe on October 4th and 5th. But the North American version of the regular season begins next week. So roster deadline, October 7th, 3 o'clock Calgary time for when everybody's got to be cap compliant, when everybody has got to be down to their 23-man roster, which means this coming Sunday is your final day for waivers before you can get your rosters down to size. And as we come towards the end of the preseason and as we come towards the end of training camp, the biggest story that is developed here for the Calgary Flames is Sam Hanzik. I think that would it be safe to say, and there have been plenty of big stories and there have been lots of positive stories, safe to say that Sam Hanzik has kind of developed or progressed into the biggest story of training camp as we enter the home stretch?
I would say he's absolutely right up there. And in terms of storylines we didn't see coming 2.5 weeks ago,
right,
he far and away the biggest surprise, the biggest story from that front, because it's kind of crazy how much difference you can see week over week. And I go back to Penticton and what we saw Sam Hanzik in the Young Stars Classic. You could see he was bigger. You could see he was faster.
And that was, and I got to say, you made those observations immediately in that first game they played Friday night.
But at the same time, he wasn't impactful there, in my opinion. You could see the individual skills and traits, but he wasn't packaging them together to be a menace or to be a difference maker. But right from the drop of the puck on main camp, he has been far and away the biggest surprise, the biggest revelation, the biggest reason for optimism in a prospect pushing for a job that I think we've seen in the 2024 training camp, Calgary Flames edition.
I think that's safe to say. And, you know, he has gradually turned into this after a nice start, that game in Seattle, a nice start, and it's kind of built from there. And now as he gets set on Monday night to play his fifth preseason game, the maximum amount any player could have played so far this preseason for the Flames, the only player to have played the maximum amount of games for the Flames, he's kind of turned into what Matt Coronato was a year ago. Matt Coronato was the guy in what was his first NHL training camp who started off really well in that first game. Hanzik had 2 points, I think, in that first game, or maybe it was 3 points, and it kind of built from there. Last year, Coronato in that 10-0 win over Vancouver to open the preseason had a hat trick, and it just kind of started his really positive run. That's what Hanzik's been doing this year. And Monday, in his fifth preseason game, he's going to be on a line with Nazem Kadri and Andre Kuzmenko. I think that was actually the plan for Saturday's win over Vancouver, but Kadri got hurt on Friday. Hurt's the wrong word. Got a little banged up, collided with Blake Coleman.
Precautionary absence.
Held him out for the weekend for precautionary reasons. Andre Kuzmenko was held out on Saturday as well for precautionary reasons as well. So I think the plan was Hanzik to play with Kadri and Kuzmenko Saturday. They didn't. They're going to do that here on Monday instead. But that is a massive opportunity for Hanzik. It was Zeri and Ferk that he was playing with in the 4-2 win over Vancouver on Saturday. And I thought he was one of, if not the best, forward on the ice for the Flames once again. Definitely was one of them. And now this big opportunity here against Seattle. This is head coach Ryan Huska. This is just a little bit of his chat with Megan Mickelson from our coaches show, which you'll hear Monday night on our Flames warm-up pregame show, as Ryan Huska talked a little about Sam Hanzik and what he's brought to camp so far.
What Sam's done really well so far is using his speed to his advantage, and he's a big man, so he's a little bit harder to play against because of the package that he does have. Cads and Kuzi had a lot of success last year with Marty Pospisil, who was a very much an up-and-down winger that had great speed. So we wanted to see what Sam would do in that situation, so it doesn't put any pressure on him that he has to generate offense. We want him to stay the same way and see if that line can develop any sort of chemistry. But he deserves the opportunity. I think that's the other thing. He's been one of our most noticeable forwards throughout camp, and he deserves the opportunity to keep playing in an attempt to make the team.
So the maximum amount of games that a player in Sam Hanzek's situation can play would be 7 in the preseason and 3 at the Young Stars, which would be 10. Of the 10, this will be his 8th. I don't know whether he goes to Winnipeg on Wednesday. I wonder if they might hold him out of one of the final two preseason games.
Give the guy
games.
A little rest.
But you know what this is? This is a real big opportunity. What I've thought about, and something that I'm going to make sure I ask one of the coaches this week is, he has played in every game. It's been an every other day type situation for him, which in a lot of ways simulates what it's going to be in the regular season. I always go back to Brad Treliving talking about how the NHL, it's an everyday league. And, you know, juniors maybe on the weekends only. And then, you know, every other day in the American League. In the NHL, you got to be on every night. It's an everyday league. And you have to take care of your body and your mind so that you're able to play and be at your top form on every given occasion, every second night. Here's an opportunity to get Hanzek into the flow of what an NHL regular season would be like and see how he performs to the rigors of that with travel and all those types of things. And so far, he's answered the bell, and the challenge is only going to get more difficult as this preseason rolls along. Three games in 5 nights this week.
Well, there's that situation where the deeper you get into training camp, the more you see teams ice more competitive rosters as they get closer to what their finished product's going to be. And you look at the Calgary Flames lineup tonight, it is a heavy NHL sort of veteran-laden roster. But that's where the test for Sam Hanzek will really come through more. It's easy to beat up on a Vancouver team on Saturday night that had maybe 4 NHL regulars in their lineup. But as you get more battle-tested or more NHL-like rosters, that's where you need to continue to see the progression from Sam Hanzek. But you got to tip the cap. I mean, he leads the NHL in preseason assists with 5. He's tied for the preseason lead in points with 6. He's a team leading +7. I know you take plus minus for what it is, but when you're looking at on just the Flames as an internal sort of thing, +7 in his time. That's incredible. And he's drawn at least 3, maybe 4 penalties as well. So it's not just the stats that you see on the score sheet at the end of the night. He's also helping the Calgary Flames be put in a position to get on the man advantage, or as we always like to say, set the table for other lines by helping with that momentum. It's not a stretch to suggest that Sam Hanzek has probably been the biggest eye-opener in camp for the Calgary Flames in 2024.
So let's cut right to the chase. Let's get to the most important question. Would love to hear from you on the text line at 960-960 as well. Can Sam Hanzek make this team? Here we are with a week to go until the end of training camp, until we shift from training camp to the regular season. Once the rosters are set, training camp's done, and now it's just regular practices. So can Sam Hanzek be one of the 23 players that cracks this roster out of training camp? Do you think there is a legitimate shot here on September 30th that he can make that answer yes?
Yeah, I actually honestly do, just because he's been one of the most impactful Flames. Scrap the age column out of the conversation. Scrap the NHL games played or years of service or experience. He's been one of their best 6 forwards, never mind 9 or 12 or 14. He's in that top 6 category of being an impact maker amongst Calgary's forward core. And if he continues to do that on Monday night against Seattle, and if he continues to do that in the game or games that he happens to get into the lineup for before the exhibition series of training camp wraps, I don't know how you don't make a spot for him. I don't know how you don't keep him up. And then from there, it's up to him to keep that spot, because we all know Matt Coronato You've referenced it already. His training camp last year was phenomenal, forced his way onto the team, but then he kind of hit a wall or he hit a lull. And you'll see the NHL pick up right from October 9th, and then you'll see another jump after American Thanksgiving and then closer to the trade deadline. There are tangible differences in the level of play at these different times. The challenge for Sam Hanzik is to make sure that he's ready for those and can make those jumps when the rest of the league does. But if he continues to be the guy that we've seen, and again, we're only talking about another week remaining, but if he continues to be that guy, I don't know necessarily either A, the option A is, yeah, you have to make a spot for him, or B, you send him down to the Wranglers with one hell of a message saying, you do this for the next month down there and prove that your training camp wasn't just a short hot streak, because we still are only talking a half dozen games, but you go down and prove that that's not just an aberration, that that's who you are now, we'll make a spot for you. But if you're asking me, if I'm playing GM of the Calgary Flames, I don't know how I don't include one of my six best forwards in my opening day lineup.
Okay, so where do you put him?
That's the question.
Because
that's the coach. See, I'm just playing GM. That's the coach's problem.
Well, but you have to.
Yes, you have to.
This has to enter into your mind if you're the general manager as well, because there's always that sentiment that exists that you can't play a player like Hanzek on the fourth line. And I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if that's how the Flames are thinking about things right now. So let's just take Hanzek for an example. Is ideally his best spot in a more offensive role? Like, would he be great on a line with Kadri and Kuzmenko? Of course he would be. That'd be amazing. But then where does Pospisil go? Where does Zeri go? Neither of those guys are in the lineup in this Monday game against Seattle. You know, the lines, I still don't know where they are on Pospisil being the center between Huberdeau and Mantha. That is something that remains to be seen. We saw both Zeri and Sharon Govich play center on Saturday against Vancouver. They're both going to continue to get looks down the middle. For instance, Sharon Govich is down the middle again against Seattle on Monday night. But where does a guy like Hanzek fit? Because I think ideally you would like him in more of a quote-unquote top nine role. But I do believe the Flames are open to having a player, a more quote-unquote skilled offensive player, play fourth line minutes depending on how they construct the fourth line for a couple of reasons. I do, and Ryan Huska talked a little bit about this last week in one of his news conferences, and I do think this is something that both the coaching staff and the management group are considering. The idea that, let's just take Hanzek for example. Say you put him on the left side of a fourth line with Rooney and Lomberg. At 5-on-5, maybe that line plays 9 minutes a night. But Hanzek's on your second, put him on your second power play unit and make that be kind of part of the conversation with the coaching staff. Okay, Hanzek's on power play two, so now maybe his ice time goes from 9.5 to 11 minutes. And you've always, how many times last year did we see Ryan Huska go down to three forward lines and maybe limit the ice time, whether it was Huberdeau one night or Mangiapane another night or whoever it might be? All of a sudden, Mantha's not going, or all of a sudden, it's an off night for Kuzmenko, or whoever you want to point to, then you can elevate Hanzek into that spot, and now you've got another, say, 2 or 3 minutes extra. So you've got the potential to have him in there for 14 minutes, and now maybe you're not stunting the development the same way that you might think from a traditional fourth-line role. I do believe that's something the Flames would consider as they start to make their final decisions about this group.
If you can believe that you can find him the minutes, I don't care lines 1 through 4 where he starts his evening. But again, it goes back to, okay, you've got to get him some special teams work. And you know what? There stands a reasonable chance that almost every single night, not everyone in your top nine is going to be cooking. Not everyone is guaranteed to
not
be going.
Not everybody knows how to do everything.
Not everybody knows how to do everything. So there's your opportunity to elevate Hanzik as well. And we can have the exact same conversation surrounding Matt Coronato, depending on how his training camp plays out. But yeah, there are minutes available. And Hanzik, I'm even more in line or can get behind this idea, because I still think he can play an effective fourth line game where all you're telling him to do is go up and down the ice in a straight line, be the first guy in on the forecheck, throw 4 to 5 hits a night, And even if that's all you're doing, that's still a good way to learn for him in the NHL, because he does need to learn how to use his size effectively. We've seen it through preseason, but when the NHL games start counting for real, that ramps up. He will need to learn how to use his body more to make more of a physical presence. And with his size and his speed, he's already got the combination there of being an effective fourth liner. So you have that, and then you have the ability to put him on your second power play unit, or you have the ability to, I don't want to necessarily say spot start because that doesn't quite work, but you have the ability to flip him on any of your top three lines for some added minutes if somebody else isn't going. It's worth exploring to me.
I think the same question applies to Matt Coronato, or the same conversation applies to Matt Coronato. Could Coronato be in a fourth-line role? Is it 1,000% ideal? Maybe not, but is it workable if there's a commitment to giving him more minutes? And I think that the mandate would be, hey, if we're going to have player X, player Y in this 5-on-5 role, we're going to want him to also get the opportunity to play PP2 and to get maybe some opportunity when guys aren't going. Because otherwise, maybe it does become a little bit more detrimental to development or doesn't serve development in 100% the right way. So, look, I think it's something to consider, and there's still a week to go in training camp, and especially after this game on Monday when they play Seattle, those two games against Winnipeg on Wednesday and Friday are going to be pretty darn close to that quote-unquote full meal deal. And I say that because, okay, the game in Winnipeg, the Flames maybe won't take their full NHL lineup. They'll bring lots of guys, though. They'll bring lots who are still on the bubble, but Winnipeg's going to be icing, you can almost bet, like 80-85% of their NHL roster. And then for both the Jets and Flames, Friday's game is their final preseason game. So for Winnipeg, you're also going to want to get as many guys ramped up, because that's going to be the highest pace preseason game either team has played. So there's a big opportunity. If your name is Jacob Pelche, if your name is Matt Coronato, if your name is Sam Hanzik, who we spent most of this first half talking about, I think that it just gets more difficult here in the final week, and this is going to be the most telling stretch of hockey for all three of those guys. So to answer my own question, does Sam Hanzik have a chance of making this team on September 30th? Yes, but that comes with the condition that as the things get their most difficult here in the final week of camp, he's going to have to answer the bell again and again and again.
Yeah, if you're Ryan Huska, if you're Craig Conroy, you're grading these last three games on a bit more of a curve. These are the more relevant games. You can go beat up on an Edmonton Oilers split squad team, or you can beat up on Vancouver Canucks, who, again, didn't ice necessarily the most competitive roster here on Saturday night. But when you're starting to get more quality NHL, when you're looking across the ice in warmups and you're seeing 90% of the team that team iced the year prior, you know you're in for a bit of a harder test. You're in for a bit of a harder night. And your job is, if you're Sam Hanzik, if you're Jacob Pelche, if you're Matt Coronato, is to not let that impact you and what you're doing out on the ice, because you need to maintain that level of effectiveness. You can't have a dip. And if you have a dip and suddenly the likes of a Dryden Hunt or an Adam Klapka or a Walker Dewar are elevating, I think the tie goes to the guy that's a little bit older, and that might be tough to say in a team that's retooling, but I would rather have, if I'm looking at my roster, if I'm playing GM, I'd rather have those names playing 20 to 23 minutes a night in the AHL than single digits in the NHL. And that goes back to well, if Hanzik or Coronato, for example, or even Pelche, okay, well, not so much Pelche on the offensive front with PP2, but you've got to find a way to get those minutes up into the low teens to the mid-teens if those players are going to earn it. But again, this is going to be the toughest test for those players that are on the bubble, that are younger, that maybe were thought of as being AHLers before NHLers, before this camp started. Now is the time to make the biggest impact, because these are the games that matter the most.
This is going to be what really makes it or breaks it for all these names involved that we're talking about being on the bubble. Your text in just a second here as we continue along this hour on Flames Talk, Steinberg and Vickers. Last one. and maybe don't need to spend a ton of time expanding on it. But as it stands right now, if everybody's healthy, and there have been some bumps and bruises so far over the last week, there's been a few, you know, things you're like, oh, okay. Now, luckily, everything's been minor so far. Kevin Ball's back skating. We expect to see him for the final two preseason games. Jake Bean's back skating. Marty Pospisil's back skating. Coronado's going to play on Monday. So is Nazem Kadri. So these are all good news stories that none of the bumps and bruises that have been sustained have been anything major at all. But is there a world with everybody healthy where both Hanzek and Coronado make this team out of camp? Because that I'm a little more skeptical on.
That is a tougher question to answer. I don't know if I necessarily see it, because when you're looking at even just, for example, what the Flames will ice tonight in terms of their personnel, you look and you go, okay, well, there's going to be no Pospisil, there's going to be no Zeri. There's going to be no Rooney. So that's almost, that's 2.5 guys I think you can pen in for sure. And I'm pretty confident that Rooney's going to lock down that fourth line center spot. So you can even say three. So who are the names that come out of the lineup that'll be playing tonight? And the only way I don't even know if I necessarily see a path for Hanzik and Coronado. That would come at the expense of perhaps a Jacob Pelletier, who might end up being your 13th or 14th forward. But what that does to me is I'm trying to reconfigure the lines in
honestly,
my head. We don't even have Anthony Mantha in the lineup as well. So there's
no.
Another one. So you know what? I don't know if I do see it, to be perfectly honest with you.
Honestly, I don't see a path for both those. I think there's unless there's injury, I don't see a path for both Coronado and Hanzek on the opening night roster. I do think it's kind of down
to one or the other.
Or neither. But not both. Let's get to the text line at 960-960. Our buddy Anna and says, good afternoon, boys. With how fantastic Sam Hanzik's been playing this week, he definitely deserves to start. He feels confident and ready to play. It'll be so exciting to see him in the lineup. And that's why I just caution, it's been great so far, but this is the hardest week of the preseason. This is the most telling week of the preseason. Even Seattle's lineup Monday night is closest to, you know, it's going to be one that is a little bit closer. And again, those two against Winnipeg are going to be big-time evaluating tools and the best ones the coaching and management staffs have had yet. Mike in Calgary says, I like the idea of him making it, but whose job does he have to take to make it? Maybe it's a Pelche. Maybe it's whoever it might be. There's a number of names that you could point out. This says, really didn't like what I saw from Mantha on Saturday. He looked lazy, making poor puck choices. I hate the idea of him winning a spot over Hanzek Coronado. Can we waive Mantha to make space? Anthony Mantha has yet to play a game as a member of, official game as a member of the Flames. They're not going to be doing that yet. And the other thing that I would say, from both a positive and negative standpoint, is I would read next to nothing into a veteran in the preseason.
Yes.
Like almost nothing. Because these guys, if you've got 300, 400, 500, they won't, but lots of times we hear them tell you that, oh, well, you don't want to flip the switch. Like you want to be playing regular season hockey going, yeah, okay. And we all know that doesn't happen.
No.
These guys are too good. They are too in tune with their bodies. They're too elite. Like these are the most high-performance athletes on the planet. And these guys know how to flip a switch. They're going at like 60% in the preseason, and they flip it to whatever regular season. Like it's just, and it's a giant jump, and they all do it, and they all do it every year. So remember Eric Gudbranson's first few preseason games 3 years ago? He looked like he shouldn't be in this league. And you know what? When he started the regular season, he was fine, and him and Zadorov made a great third pairing all year. And the same is true, like if guys who are good, guys who are bad, if you're a veteran, I read 0.0% into your preseason. I really do.
It's all about ramping up for the veterans. They're not in competition with other players. Maybe if you're a fourth liner or you're a bottom pair defenseman, you've got to kind of come out of the gate a little bit harder. But the luxury of being an established NHLer is you use preseason as much as a ramp up to day one more than anything else. So you're at like 60% in game one, 70% in game two, 80% until you finally get to the point where you're into regular season mode. I would read more into their performances later in the week against Winnipeg, and particularly Friday when it's going to be the quote-unquote full meal deal, than I would on Vancouver on a Tuesday night in a split squad Abbotsford game.
Sam writes, I'd give Hanzik a 7-9 game run on the main roster, then send him to the Wranglers to marinate the rest of the year, perhaps also a front runner for a call-up thanks to injury or after the trade deadline. But Sam, what if he's playing well enough that he doesn't have to go back to the Wranglers? I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't put that in pen. That's an option. But if he's playing well, what would be the point of sending him down, right?
No, if he shows that he deserves to stay, he stays. You change his number, you give him an NHL number, and away you go. You don't necessarily do that in the first 9 games of the season. You wait to see how he manages. But yeah, if he shows he can play, he stays.
This says, Pat, I don't understand why they'd sign guys like Mantha and Lomberg when they know they have these kids ready or almost ready to make the team. Lomberg, they brought in for, you know, the identity reasons. I don't think Lomberg, like, nobody does what Lomberg does on this
team. Few guys do in the NHL.
He's as much a culture guy as anything else. I have no problem with it, that signing. And go back to Craig Conroy's final media availability last season before we went into off-season mode. One of the things he said is he wants to bring somebody in to play with Jonathan Huberdeau. Jonathan Huberdeau's here for 7 more years at $10.5 million per. They need to find ways to get him going and to get his level of play and production to a significantly higher rate. And so that's why Mantha was brought in. It's a 1-year deal, and he's a potential trade deadline chip as well. So that's why those two guys were brought in.
Well, the other thing, too, is you don't want your prospects thinking they've made the team in August. You need to still have internal competition in your group and make your young players take spots away from established veterans. Internal competition is significantly important when you're going through a rebuild or a retool like the Calgary Flames are.
This says, contrary to Patty Dumas's aggressive take, I believe Pahal has earned himself a spot on the third pair. I'm not sure what Dumas' aggressive take was, but if it were me right now, Pahal would be my third pair right side guy to start the season today with still some time for that stuff to figure itself out. And finally, this reads, I do understand all the hype and talk about how great Hanzek's been playing, but I think the real story in camp right now is the goalies, Vladar, Cooley, and Wolf. I think Wolf's going to get the short end of the stick and get sent down. Don't tell Wes Gilbertson that. Do not tell him that.
I don't know if I see that. And I do agree that the goaltending is the biggest story in camp. Hanzik, to me, is the biggest unseen or unforeseen story that's developed through camp.
That's probably a good way of putting it. Yeah, that's probably fair. Hey, it's Steinberg and Vickers along with you. We're hanging out here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome in the Hot Stove Lounge on this Truth and Reconciliation Day of 2024. So also making sure we honor Truth and Reconciliation Day 2024. Flames have done some outstanding stuff. They did morning skate all in orange jerseys on Monday morning. It's going to be a Truth and Reconciliation theme night here at the Dome. So I just want to make sure that we are indeed very much aware and honoring today as Truth and Reconciliation Day 2024. We're here at the Hot Stove Lounge, and everything's emanating back downtown in our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Well, as we continue on this Monday, it's time to welcome back a Flames Talk staple. It is time for the first time in the 2024-25 season to convene our daily Flames Roundtable. Let's welcome back our friends at Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport, and the daily Flames Roundtable will consist once again with of me, Pat Steinberg, of Aaron Vickers, of Wes Gilbertson, of Logan Gordon, and of course the daily feature on the Daily Flames Roundtable, the voice of the Calgary Flames, Derek Wills, who joins us here in the Hot Stove Lounge as well. Welcome back. Another year of the Daily Flames Roundtable.
Oh, it's exciting because now I know what I'm doing at 4:35 p.m. Monday to Friday for the next 8 months or so.
7, 8, 9 months. Yeah. Who knows how long.
You're a guy that likes that structure, huh?
I do. I like to be organized in life.
Well, now you can plan your life around
me. You guys. Yes.
Thanks, buddy.
As specifically usual. Around me, I would appreciate, if I'm being perfectly honest. You know, you and I talked about this on Saturday in our little pregame crossover during Flames warm-up, and we, for the first time, saw Yegor Sharangovich and Connor Zeri play down the middle in a preseason game in that 4-2 win over Vancouver. We've seen Marty Pospisil play a couple of games down the middle between Huberto and Mantha, and there's definitely a battle going on for a third center ice position. If you assume, which I don't think it's written in pen at all, but if you have Kevin Rooney as one of your options as a fourth-line center, you've got Nazem Kadri and Michael Backlund as your top two centers, there's definitely at least a void for one additional center. And we've known for weeks now, guys, that Zeri, Pospisil, and Sharangovich were all going to get looks down the middle. We've seen all three of them now. We'll see Sharangovich down the middle again on Monday against Seattle. Are we any closer to finding out who that third center is going to be for the Flames this year?
I don't think we are, and it was something I was thinking about watching the morning skate today. So when we had a chance to chat with head coach Ryan Huska after the morning skate, I asked him, I said, are you any closer to figuring out who your other top nine centerman is going to be to start the season? And his answer was no. So I think it's a three-horse race, and I'm with you guys. I've got Kevin Rooney penciled in as this team's fourth-line center. For me, he's clearly been ahead of Cole Schwindt in the fight for that spot. They know what they've got in him, and I think that he can give them some reliable minutes playing on that fourth line. And I've had a few people ask me, okay, so why can't they use two of Martin Pospisil, Yegor Sharangovich, and Connor Zeri at center? Why don't you have them as your 3-4 centermen? And my response would be all three guys are top nine players and need to play top 9 minutes for this team. So whether that's on the wing or whether that's at center, they're going to be in the top nine. And Martin Pospisil's had the longest look at center. He's played a couple of games during the preseason there. We don't have his faceoff numbers from that game against the Canucks in Abbotsford last Wednesday, but against the Oilers up in Edmonton last Monday, he was at 33.3%. And in their first games at center so far in the preseason, Yegor Sharangovich, 61.1%, Connor Zeri, 60.0%. Both those guys played center against the Canucks here in Calgary on Saturday. So the reason I bring up those faceoff numbers, Ryan Huska has said that it has been made very clear to everybody who's playing up the middle for the Flames this year that starting with the puck is really important, and that means winning faceoffs or at least retrieving pucks after losing faceoffs. So I do think that being strong in the faceoff circle will help the coaches decide who gets the spot. But, you know, the feeling I get, guys, is we might not have a concrete answer come the end of the preseason. Mm-hmm. This competition is probably, at this point, going to carry into the regular season.
You know, I agree 100%. I don't think that this is a training camp exclusive battle. And once October 9 comes around and the puck is dropped on the 24-25 season, that we've got our set centers for the Calgary Flames, it's going to be something that's going to be tinkered with all throughout the season as Coach Ryan Huska is looking for chemistry amongst his forward core. But you raise a really good point about faceoffs being very important in this decision. Just so much easier in the NHL to start with the puck than it is to retrieve it. And that starts, obviously, with the drop of the puck, literally, in terms of faceoffs. Having said all that, I am more partial to Martin Pospisil from what I've seen so far. I don't think it's cut and dry. I don't think it's set in stone. I don't think it's being put down in pen. But I have a larger sample size of seeing Martin Pospisil as a center. I'll be honest, I didn't love Sharangovich down the middle on Saturday. Having said that, that's a small sample size to be drawing a conclusion from. But at the same time, for me, if it's my job on the line, if I'm behind the bench, I get to tinker with the lines, I'd go Pospisil. But there's certainly more than enough time with three remaining preseason games to sway that opinion.
And I mean, I don't think that we are. I'm kind of with you, Willsie. I don't know if there's enough runway for this to be definitively figured out between now and the start of the regular season. Like, as we're talking right now, we're 9 days away from the regular season opener. So I don't know if there is enough time between now and next Monday. Rosters are due at 3 o'clock Monday, October 7th, 3 o'clock Calgary time. So I don't know if this week is going to be enough for Ryan Huska and the coaching staff to definitively know who the guy is going to be. I think that you're probably going to have to kind of go based on, like, power rankings or, you know, like, okay, we think the best guy has been Pospisil, so we'll start there. Yeah, I still think of all those three names, like my personal opinion is that Zeri's the best fit because I think that his game is able to translate the best at center compared to the other two. I think I worry about what you lose with both Pospisil and Sharangovic if they're saddling center ice minutes compared to what they're able to bring you on the wing, whereas I feel less like that when it comes to Zeri, but I think that we're all of the opinion that the coaching staff probably prefers Pospisil. So, yeah, I don't think that we're close at all. I think it's going to be an ongoing conversation. Yeah, Wilsey, I'm with you. I think this probably does last into the regular season, and we may still be seeing tinkering and guys flipping from wing to center once we get to the start of the regular season.
Yeah, and maybe you have intel that I don't, Pat, but I don't get the sense that the coaches prefer Pospisil necessarily. I just get the sense that they want to see him at center and see what that looks like in the NHL. And Aaron, to your point, you saw him firsthand at the World Championships. So they obviously liked some of what they saw.
Yeah,
and we're intrigued by the possibility of playing him up the middle. And I'm not saying this just to be different because you said Pospisil and you said Zeri. But for me, it's still Sharangovic because that's the biggest sample size I've got. And outside of his faceoff percentage, which was poor last season, I liked him playing up the middle. And he scored 31 goals playing mainly or at least 50-50. I wouldn't know the exact split between center and the wing. So, you know, he still got the job done regardless of where he was playing. If he was playing at center, if he was playing on the wing, he was still an impactful player. For me, he's a good 200-foot player, good defensively, so if he could improve his face-off percentage, I do like Sharangovic at center. Could he be even more impactful playing full-time on the wing, Pat? Maybe, potentially, with that shot off the flank, for sure. As for Martin Pospisil, it's harder for me to envision him being the same guy at center, and you know, I've watched him play one preseason game up the middle, and he didn't pop for me, fellas. And again, small sample size, but that's all I have to work with because the other game where he played up the middle was at Edmonton, and we were stuck here in Calgary. As for Connor Zeri, Pat, I do think that long-term, you know, he does maybe project to be the best of the three options playing up the middle, but you look at how effective he was playing in the wing in his rookie season, maybe leave him there, and unless you feel like you have to move him to the middle. You can always do that later in his career.
Well, again, small sample size, but I thought he looked great with Backlund and Coleman as well. But to bolster your point, Pat, and sort of cut the legs out of my own, I think long-term from an organizational standpoint, you need to find out more if Zeri can be a center than you do, I think, for Sharangovic or Pospisil.
Well, and it's crazy. Like all three of these guys were significantly better, or we didn't really see Pospisil at center last year. We only saw Zeri for six games at the end of the year, and we saw Sharangovic kind of a couple of times for extended-ish periods. But, you know, all three were at their best on the wing last year, no doubt. So it's odd. And I don't even know if the Flames currently prefer Pospisil. I just think that they preferred him or kind of had him as the guy they wanted to experiment with the most coming into this camp. I go back, like when you hear Craig Conroy talk about, I wanted to find somebody that kind of could replicate the way that Sam Bennett drove the middle when Huberdeau put up 115 points 2 years ago. When you hear things like that and want to utilize his speed and all those types of things, it's an intriguing idea. I don't know if we have seen enough to be able to start to determine whether or not it's the right call or not, but I remain quite intrigued by the whole idea because of what they're trying to accomplish by putting Pospisil down the middle. So, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a really interesting final three games of the preseason to see how this all plays itself out.
Yeah, and I do wonder if Martin Pospisil was 100%, if he would be centering Jonathan Huberdeau and Matt Coronato tonight,
yeah,
instead of Yegor Sharangovic. But you try to read the tea leaves at this point of the preseason to figure out what might be going on between the ears of the coaches and the managers. And when guys get a bunch of games, that tells me they're getting a long look. When guys stop getting games, that tells me they're probably out of the mix. And we're seeing now for a second straight game, Yegor Sharangovic playing center. So they want to get another look at him playing on, I guess, a pseudo number one or number two line tonight with Jonathan Huberdeau and Matt Coronato. So we'll see how it goes, but I still think this is probably a question we're going to have to wait until the regular season to answer. And guys, I wouldn't be surprised, even when the regular season starts, if maybe all three guys get a look playing up the middle.
Yep. It's Derek, it's Aaron, it's Pat, it's our Daily Flames Roundtable for the first time this season. Guys, 4-0-1 is the record in the preseason, which means the Flames will finish with an above 500 record in the preseason. And it's funny, we were sitting here in the Hot Stove Lounge earlier on Monday morning, and Megan Mickelson was doing her interview with Coach Ryan Huska for our pregame show, and asked the question, like, what can a good preseason do for good vibes, for confidence, for all those types of things? Because, you know, it's something that I've had on my mind. You know, it's been a very positive preseason for the Flames. And I thought it was quite interesting that Ryan Huska point blank said zero. We don't take anything from the results, and they don't matter. I thought it was a very fair question. And it wasn't a dismissive answer from Husk either. He then explained why and what he sees the preseason as. But I find it really interesting. So knowing that and knowing what coaches think, knowing what veteran players think of the preseason, guys, what are the positives the Flames can take from what has been a good preseason so far and what they hope will continue to be here in the final week?
Well, they're first overall in the NHL's preseason standings, so that's not a bad thing, 4-0-1. You'd rather be 4-0-1 than 1-0-4 or 1-4-0 or whatever, but I do think that it's always more fun to win than to lose. And this is a team that, for a good chunk of last season, struggled to put the puck in their opponent's net. And they have scored an NHL-high 25 goals so far in the preseason. And you can't convince me that scoring in the preseason, especially for younger guys, doesn't help their confidence going into the regular season. Now, listen, the Flames could finish their 8-game preseason schedule 7-0-1 and then go into Vancouver on October 9th and get their butts kicked by the Canucks, and then you can flush that all down the toilet. But what happens if they start to build some belief and confidence in the preseason, and then that carries over to the start of the regular season? I am a firm believer that is the biggest reason why the find-a-way Flames of 2014-2015 found a way into the Stanley Cup playoffs and won a round is because they started to believe and they built confidence early that season, and that just continued to snowball and help them get to a spot where they probably, quite frankly, didn't deserve to be based on their talent and based on the way they played a lot of nights. They just found new and inventive ways to win hockey games. So we'll see where it takes these guys, but you'd always rather win than lose. You'd always rather score a bunch of goals than to struggle to score a goal. So I think there's been a lot of positives. For me, I guess, big picture, the biggest positives have been the internal competition, and as a spinoff on that, the young guys, in a lot of ways, creating that internal competition and the goaltending. Because we're 5 games into the preseason, and when you look at the periods that all 3 guys have played, there hasn't been one bad one.
Yeah.
And that was, for me, the biggest question mark going into training camp and the preseason, and will still be going into the regular season. Can you get goaltending good enough to give you a chance to win on a nightly basis? I wasn't sure, but I'm a little bit more confident now than I was at the start of camp.
You hit on absolutely everything I had jotted down there, Wilsey, so thanks for that. Nothing new to rehash here. Yeah, the results don't matter, but I feel like the vibes can transfer over to the regular season. This isn't going 5-0-1 in 6 games to close out the 23-24 season, then you get 6 months off and you get right back at it. I do think that the vibes, and again, you can scrap all the points, don't matter in the preseason, results don't matter, wins don't necessarily matter, but the vibes that those things generate do. And so you're finding yourself a competitive team if you're the Calgary Flames, both externally and internally, because you touched on the push from the youth creating a little bit of havoc or headaches, maybe even the good kind for Ryan Huska and Craig Conroy. And then the one for me that's significant is the goaltending situation, where, as you mentioned, you've got 3 goalies that have played quite well, have not made the decision any easier. And yeah, you've got one that has a 2.26 goals against and a 917. You've got one that's got a 929 save percentage. You got one that's got a 943. Like, you have not seen a goalie fall out of this race. And I wasn't necessarily sure heading into camp whether we'd see one seize the role. And here we are having 3 guys that haven't dropped one iota in this race.
I'll definitely defer to the coach where he says that, you know, he's not worried about the results and all that type of stuff. But I do think that the thing that I've been saying all along is, like, it's not a bad thing. Like, it's definitely, I don't know if it helps you 0.1% or 1.9%. No idea. But I know it is not there's no negative impact of having a good preseason. That's for sure. And guys, the thing that I agree most with is that it just it's been a training camp and a preseason that isn't like some others that we've seen where there's been nothing. There's just been, hey, this is going to be we all penned in our 13 forwards and 7 defensemen to start the year, and the goalies, you just go on with your lives, and nobody made things interesting. And we've seen multiple training camps like that. Well, that's not what this is. Like, right now, we're all twisting ourselves in knots trying to figure out ways that a Sam Hanzek could make this team, or Sam Hanzek and Matt Coronato, or Devin Cooley, Dustin Wolf, and Dan Vladar can all make this team, or you know, how does Tyson Berry make it, or what, like all of these things that they have. How does Grushnikov fit in, or could Brustevich make a push? Like, these are all things that are good, and the fact that these stories exist, that's the biggest positive for me about this preseason and the training and training camp so far, is that, you know, we're now into the final stretch. There's one more week to go in camp, and these all of those things I just said are all still valid, are all still relevant, and will probably remain so. Even the center ice position that we talked about to kick off the round table. So those things don't hurt either, because the more internal competition you have, the more your pace is a little higher, and you're probably just that much closer to starting the regular season. Do I, if a veteran player doesn't have any points during the preseason, I don't care. If, you know, those things don't matter to me, but these things I think are positive, and I think do have a knock-on effect that could potentially carry over even a little bit into the regular season.
Yeah, I agree. And for me, the icing on the cake to this point has been, you've got an organization that's going in a little bit different direction than they've gone in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And they'd love to get younger, but they're not going to hand young players spots. Those guys are going to have to earn them. Or as managers and coaches have said, the young guys are going to have to steal jobs from the old guys. So I think what would be really alarming at this point in time is if, with Craig Conroy and the management group and Ryan Huska and the coaching staff, trying to go in a younger direction, or at least making that a possibility, that the young guys have stepped up and they've starred so far in training camp and the preseason. If there weren't a handful of guys who were pleasant surprises, with Sam Hanzek being at the top of the list for me, after what I saw from him last year in training camp and the preseason, after what I saw from him really throughout the Young Stars Classic, but I guess specifically in the first couple of games in Penticton, I did not expect him to emerge the way he has in training camp in the preseason and to be leading the NHL in preseason points. I didn't see that coming. What a pleasant surprise that has been. Matt Coronato, he's been fantastic. Dustin Wolf, he's been almost unbeatable. So I just think that the young players playing for an organization who wants to give them an opportunity, the fact that they've stepped up is the most promising and exciting thing for me so far.
Just like that, our first Daily Flames roundtable of the season is in the books. He's Derek Wills. He's Aaron Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg, and it's great to have the Daily Flames roundtable back on Flames Talk. It's great to have our friends at Mercedes-Benz Country Hills back as the presenting sponsor. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, the simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport.